Radio Sport.
Good evening and welcome to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. I'm Rob Pritchard and I'm with you for the next half hour. Take a look over the sporting action coming up on Ireland this weekend and beyond. Coming up tonight, 2025 Parish Walk is upon us. We hear from the race director ahead of this year's event getting underway tomorrow morning. The Isle of Man will play host to an international tennis tournament from Sunday for 5 days of competition in Douglas. One of the biggest events on the Isle of Man's golf calendar is here, with qualifying for the 2025 Isle of Man Championships teeing off this weekend. And with less than a month to go until the 2025 Ireland Games, we've been hearing from some of the teams making their way to Orkney. That's all to come this evening. Very warm welcome to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. Let's dive straight into what is arguably one of the biggest mass participation events here on the Isle of Man this weekend. Scores of people are expected to take part in one of the island's major events. The 2025 Parish Walk gets underway from 8 a.m. tomorrow on the athletics track at the NSC in Douglas. Nearly 1,300 people are signed up to participate in the challenge, which sees people take on all or part of an 85-mile walking course around the island. Well, to find out more, I've been catching up with Parish Walk race director Ray Cox.
Entries up on last year, just under 1,300 now, which is a nice number for us. It makes the race quite big and exciting, colourful. Financially, it stands on its own 2 feet, and no logistical challenges with that number of participants.
And when you compare that, I know we have done this a couple of times, when you compare it to, say, like the post-COVID year where there's around 1,900 people, the sort of record entries, you've always kind of put it in the last couple of years is that numbers have plateaued, and it's quite a good number to have.
Yeah, I think the Parish Walk is still a very popular event. People aspire to do it, and we always seem to attract around the 1,300 entries, and that's a really good number for us. It really works, and it still shows that the Parish Walk is still an attractive challenge for people.
We talk about this every single year, but the Parish Walk brings together people from all different walks of life, if you'll pardon the pun, but people do it for so many different reasons, don't they? Is that why it's so embedded in the community?
Well, I think there are a number of aspects. I think, yes, the charity side, having that aspiration to raise money, maybe for a personal thing. A lot of personal connections with the different charities, and we find that people walk in memory of people because somebody has such and such a condition, and we're very, very keen to support all charities, and we have a very strong charity giving platform, and then that's one side of it. And then the other side of it is people like to do things with a lot of other people all at the same time. And when you're down at the start on Saturday morning, 8 o'clock at the NSC, there are going to be maybe 1,100-1,200 people all standing there, all excited, the adrenaline's flowing, God willing, the sun will be shining. And it's a really fabulous atmosphere. And I think that really attracts people.
Now, I ask you this every single year, but I'm going to ask you again. And this is for those, there are so many people who know what the Parish Walk is about, directly or indirectly. But if you had to explain the Parish Walk to someone for the first time, what are the big highs, what are the big challenges, what would you say to them?
Well, the Parish Walk is an 85-mile challenge. Can you do it, all 17 parish churches, in less than 24 hours? And it's just walking, and everybody can walk. So that's the fundamental challenge. And that within that, then, people pick what they can do. They pick their own goals. Can I get to Rushen? Shall I go to Peel? 32.5 miles. Very good achievement if you can do that. Then, of course, Balath has become the most popular destination because that's about halfway, and we find that upwards of 400-450 people will aspire to get to Balath. After Balath, it's the business end of the Parish Walk. The tough sections come into play, particularly the Jerby to Bride section. It's long, the roads are quite narrow, the hedges are very high, and it's very disorientating. And lots of times, walkers think they're just about to get to Bride Church, but yet still another couple of miles away. Mentally, I've seen people crack frequently on that section. Also, it's getting maybe towards dusk, it's maybe getting towards night for the slower walkers. So, of course, that builds in another aspect. So the mental challenge is beginning to build up along with the physical challenge. And then, of course, get the bride, 30 miles to go, you know, it's sort of a still a big challenge, but, you know, you're getting there. So it's wonderful to see people progress through the bad patches, perhaps. Maybe the support crews have to get in there and do a bit of psychology and giving them motivation and whatever. And then the next thing, they're up and walking again. And it's great to see that.
Let's look at the competitive side then. Now, in the case of both the men's and women's races, we have two back-to-back champions who'll no doubt be trying to make it a perfect three, if you like. Dean Morgan in the men's race and Lorna Gleave in the women's race. You know, how strong do you think both of them will be this year?
Well, they're certainly setting their stalls out. In the men's race, though, Callum Gaughan certainly making noises in the right direction, is what I'd say. And he's been walking very well in other events. Simon Gaughan, maybe as well in the mix. So we do have Paul Atherton, old hand at the job. So if anybody's not up to the mark, he won't make it an easy race. So on the men's side, I would say it's very much up in the air. On the ladies' side, Lorna's out again, but so is Samantha Bawden. And I had a little chat with Samantha earlier in the spring, just asking her how things were. And you always know an athlete who's determined because they give nothing away. And I felt that she might be making a real effort. So I know they trained together, both Lauren and Samantha. So what happens on the day? Well, interesting race developing there, I'd say.
We've talked about the competitors, talked about the community, but of course at the heart of this are the likes of yourselves and all the organisers as well, the ones that put it all together and make it happen. From an organising perspective, how has it been this year?
Yeah, great, very good. We had a big change with check-in. Registration was actually in the sports hall down at the NSC, and I think big up to them. The management down at the NSC could not have been more facilitating, and testimony to the staff, you know, because we come in and there's a lot of stuff, a lot of infrastructure. They were just brilliant with all our requests and whatever. So big thank you to the NSC and the staff. Registration, I think, will probably remain there for the future. So that was the first thing that we've done, and it's got off the ground. The rest of the race day, tomorrow morning, as I say, 8 o'clock is going to be the start. But everything's in place. Got lots and lots of different agents. We've managed to fill our volunteer roster. Earlier in the week, it was looking a bit dodgy, but Winston Liu, who's my chief marshal, said to me yesterday, he said, we've got everybody in, and it is great to see just how many people volunteer their time. And of course, without them, it wouldn't be possible to have the parish walk.
Manx Radio Sport. Elsewhere, the Isle of Man is set to play host to a 5-day international tennis tournament, which starts this weekend. The 2025 International Island Tennis Tournament, as it's known, will be held at Douglas Lawn Tennis Club from this Sunday to next Friday. And it will see an Isle of Man team welcome and play against squads from Jersey, the Faroe Islands and Cayman Islands. Well, as Isle of Man Lawn Tennis Association Secretary Paul Jarvis explains, this is a valuable event in a year where tennis won't be part of the upcoming Island Games in Orkney next month.
Starting this weekend, we've got International Tennis Tournament, Island Tournament coming up. This is a first for this year for us. It was brought about by the fact that we haven't got tennis in the Island Games, and the islands would like an opportunity to actually play some inter-island tennis. So there was an invite went out to participants in the Island Games to see if they'd like to play something. And as a consequence of that, we have the Faroe Islands, the Cayman Islands and Jersey coming to the island to play against the Isle of Man starting on Sunday.
And in terms of the amount of players we're expecting, over how many players, including the Isle of Man, are we expecting to take part in this tournament?
OK, so we've got teams of give or take one or two. It's 10 from each island coming. So we've got around about 40 players coming in total in the tournament. And the tournament will start off with a team event. So that's sort of like a Davis Cup type team for people that know tennis. It's a two singles and a doubles type tournament at the start to kick off the event. And there'll be the four teams in there, two singles, as I said, and a doubles. And they'll be playing in a round robin format. So they'll each play each other over 2 days to see who will be the overall team winner. Following up from that, starting on the Monday, Tuesday, we've got ladies singles event, men's singles event, ladies doubles event, men's doubles event, and also a mixed doubles event. So quite a lot of tennis going on, culminating with finals on the Friday.
The fact that we do have an intense schedule like that for the players involved because, as you've already pointed out, tennis isn't involved in the 2025 Ireland Games. How positive a thing is this being, not just for the Isle of Man athletes, but the visiting athletes and teams coming over, that they've got something like that to aim for this summer?
You know, I think it's a big positive to the sports. You know, there's not that many opportunities for Ireland-based players, and whether that's a Cayman Island-based player or a Faroe Islands or Isle of Man Jersey-based players, to actually play people from other countries. And even for the Isle of Man players, having to go to the UK is, you know, to play different people. So the opportunity for them to get together as a group and play people they haven't played before, different styles, different nationalities, I'm sure it's going to be a challenge. And it's just nice for a community to actually come together of the players. So I'm sure we'll see some enjoyment on the course.
And off one of those words you mentioned there, community as well, because these things don't just happen with the click of the fingers. There's a lot of work that has to go into it behind the scenes. So how impressive has the work been, not just from the Isle of Man being hosts, but also the other teams coming here to bring this together?
Yeah, there's been a lot of work from that, obviously, from the travelling teams. You know, there's quite a cost commitment from them. You know, if they're flying up from the Cayman Islands, you know, and even flying from the Faroe Islands and Jersey, a little bit nearer, but certainly a lot of effort from those getting their teams together, getting organised, getting flights and hotels booked here in places to stay. From the host nation point of view, yes, we've got a lot of work to do in terms of just making sure we've got the infrastructure in place to actually run within a tennis centre. So we're using Douglas Lawn Tennis Centre, who are supporting, along with the Isle of Man LTA, the event, and making sure we've got a supplier of trophies and balls and organisation for something to happen outside of tennis in terms of a closing type ceremony or closing type event. So there's a lot of things that goes on around the periphery to actually make sure that it's an event that everybody can enjoy.
In terms of the players and teams taking part, let's start with the Isle of Man team. How's that going to shape up?
So the Isle of Man team, we're in the team event, we've probably got our strongest players playing in that. In the men, and certainly in the men's side, we've got hopefully Ori Farmworth, who's coming back. He's currently across from in the UK, but he's coming back just for the team event for us. And we've got Mark Chin, so they'll be playing in the team event for us potentially Neri Grosvicius as a backup in case we have any injuries from that perspective. On the ladies' side, we've got Charlotte Clark again coming back, ladies' champion from last year in the Ireland Championships, as was Ori, of course, coming to play, and Sarah Long and Ava Osterbury. So fairly strong team there for the ladies' event as well.
On the visiting side as well, again, within what you know so far, how strong are you expecting the travelling teams to be?
I'm expecting them to be quite strong. Certainly, we've got players that won medals in the Ireland Games in the last event coming here from the Jersey side. So the Jersey team, I think, is quite strong from what I see on the paper and looking at the seedings, which we'll do at the weekend. And there's a couple of very strong players coming from the Cayman, and one certainly fairly strong one I can see from the Faroe Islands as well. So I think it's going to be fairly intense when you get to the later stages of each of the rounds. In the men's singles, we'll have a 16 draw, as we will in the ladies' singles, and in the mixed doubles, it will be a 16 draw as well.
Manx Radio Sport. Well, arguably the biggest competition on the Isle of Man's golf calendar tees off over the next 2 days. Men's and ladies qualifying for the 2025 Isle of Man Championships at the Comus at Mount Murray tomorrow and Sunday. And one of the competitors, Daryl Collister, recently told us who he thinks could be in the running for honours and why this is such a major occasion in the Manx game. Another big event on the Isle of Man's golf calendar coming up, the 2025 Isle of Man Championships.
Yeah, so not long away from that kicking off, qualifying. Yeah, Rob Noone will be favourite again. He's won the last three, and this year it's back at Mount Murray where it was last year, which is a strange thing. I'm not sure that's ever happened in Ireland Championship history, that it's back-to-back at the same venue, but for whatever reason that is, that's where we are. But yeah, great to be competing again and at Mount Murray this year.
It was two siblings who cleaned up last year. You mentioned Rob Noone there, but Emma Noone, of course, winning the Women's Championship as well. In terms of, as you mentioned, Rob Noone, just to start with, and the men's competition, like you say, three consecutive wins now in the Isle of Man Championship. What's it going to take for someone to maybe unseat him at the top? Because he seems to be in great form over the last few years.
He does, yeah. And he's been doing well away off Ireland this year. So he's continuing his good form. Matt Murray is his home club. So again, he's going back to his home club to play again, but having to go at four in a row. I think the last time that was done, I'm going to say it was Julian Sutton, maybe won four in a row, went on to win eight in total. It can be quite hard to upset someone who's just, you can see he's not lost now since 4 years ago. It was the last time he lost a match play in the Allianz Champs, which is pretty spectacular, really. And yeah, that confidence you get from just winning every game, there's that expectation that he'll believe that he's just going to keep on winning.
And the Women's Championship, as we've mentioned, Emma Noon, the reigning champion going into that, and in the recent Stroke Play Championships, was at the sharp end of that for much of it as well. So outside of Emma, you would imagine will be a strong contender to defend her title, but who else might be up there or thereabouts?
So there's probably Sarah Wignall, the Dawsons. I think Kaylee's playing in it, and then Shirley Price could have another good run in the championships. Karen Farragher, yeah, there could be any number of them really compete. And in match play, I think they will qualify from then straight on to the semi-finals. I think so the top four qualify, could be top eight. It's changed in recent years. But yeah, once you get into that, it's just a matter of winning the game in front of you. And yeah, it really could be an open one, that I would say this year. But Emma will be, again, a club she plays, she'll be feeling confident again.
Venue as well, Mount Murray as well, as it was last year as well. In terms of the course itself, what type of player does it favour, do you think, the layout?
Yeah, you've got to take advantage of the par five. So being a longer hitter could be an advantageous if you take advantage of the fives. And then also good long iron striking on the sort of par three. So par the threes, birdie the fives, and then just batten down the hatches and hang on the par fours, really. Good short games usually required. There's a lot of runoff on the greens, so probably don't hit as many greens in regulation compared to some other courses, because you run off onto the fringes and stuff like that because of the slopes. And although it's been a little bit soft lately, if it does firm up, you'll find, yeah, a good short game's quite useful for Mount Murray.
Again, largely for someone who may be listening to this and is outside of, let's say, the golf landscape on the Isle of Man, the Isle of Man Championships, where does it rank in the yearly calendar?
Well, it's the biggest Isle of Man event that we have. It's got a long history, over 100 years, or I think it could be 100 years next year. I think 1926 was the first running of it, so... Yeah, it's been running for a long time. It's got a lot of history, a lot of good winners. It creates every so often you get a surprising sort of young winner. So there's some good juniors that are in it this year. Sometimes it's that's a catalyst that gets them to the next level in their golfing career. Like, I think in recent years, likes of Tom Harris, Tom Gandy, who won that and then went on to do bigger and better things. Herman Laubster, who qualified, I think he's the youngest ever qualifier, age maybe 12 or 13. He qualified back in 2011, nearly won a Sunshine Tour event on the Professional Tour of South Africa. So yeah, it's one of those things that can sort of catalyze someone's career and sort of their confidence in their own golfing game. So yeah, it's a lot that it's used for, really. We haven't had many juniors competing in the last few years, but looking at the list, and I don't know all of the names, but I can see Rocco Spencer's down there. He's a really good young golfer at Mount Murray, left-hander, so he'd be one to keep an eye on over the coming years. He'll develop pretty quickly now, as I think he's sort of like 12 or 13 as well, so really young, but as he starts growing, you develop quite quickly in golf when that power comes. So him and many others, there's quite a lot of Mount Murray junior golfers and some others, I think Ramsey and then other clubs as well, or Peel, of course, have always been good at juniors. So it's good to see some of them not only developing in their own junior sections, but now progressing to our biggest championship, the Isle of Man Championship.
On the domestic calendar, what else have we got coming up over the next couple of months?
The Isle of Man Champs is the main one. After that, the Willie Kirkpatrick, which this year has moved back to after the championship, which is the first time I can remember that happening. So it's good to have a competition later on in the year. That's early August, 10th of August, that is, just after the Northern Counties, which again will be sending and selecting a six-man team to represent the Isle of Man in Durham this year. So that's early August as well. So yeah, it's pretty quick moving now.
Manx Radio Sport. Well, we're now less than a month away from the 2025 Ireland Games in Orkney, from the 12th to the 18th of July. And ahead of the Games, we've been catching up in recent times with all the sports taking part to hear about what they're looking forward to. And tonight, we're hearing from a sport that's making an Ireland Games comeback, gymnastics. They've got high hopes for a positive and successful event, as Isle of Man Gymnastics Team Manager Helen Duggan explained to me at the Manx Gymnastics Centre for Excellence.
It was very good because all of the teams were there. The only one that didn't have a gymnast was Bermuda. So coming into this Games, we don't know where Bermuda are with their teams. But 2 years ago, we got to have a good look at who seniors were doing and what they were doing.
And just for a bit of context, some numbers, how big in total is the Ireland team going to be? But also the range of different experiences and ages in there as well.
So we've got a team of six girls, six boys. We've got some experienced gymnasts, probably three girls in each and three boys in each, which have been seniors previously. And now we've got some juniors coming up as well.
And one of those as well, quite a story, really, a young girl called Phoebe as well, who's going to be, we believe, the youngest Isle of Man athlete in Orkney, and actually turns of age to be eligible on the day of the opening ceremony. That's extraordinary, isn't it?
Yes, yes. The bylaws, we've looked at the bylaws I don't know how many times to make sure of our facts on this, but Phoebe's birthday is on the day of the opening ceremony, and that qualifies her to be in the team.
And for some of those who don't know the ins and outs of gymnastics, there are so many different disciplines out there as well. Some can specialise, some can enter into the likes of the all-arounds as well, where they may still have a bit of a kind of ace up their sleeve of sorts as well. For a spectator's perspective, just how diverse is gymnastics?
So it's really diverse, and at the Island Games, it's even more so. To allow smaller islands, we have two levels of competition. So the team day is, you might call it a lower level, but it's a more equal level for everybody, but you've got to be perfect in doing that. And then we have the FIG day, which is like the gymnastics you'd see at Commonwealth Games and Olympic Games, where it's voluntary skills, as hard as you can do, you put them in your routine. And then you have six apparatus for the men, four apparatus for the ladies, and an all-around title as well. So it's quite an intense week of competition.
And when you look at the competitive side of things, there may be those out there who would dream of going on to big things in future, of course. So the last Commonwealth Games, you saw Tara Donnelly, for example, involved in the all-around, very proudly from the Isle of Man as well. How big a platform can the Island Games be if there are athletes out there who may look to pursue it further?
Yes, we're looking at the Island Games as being one of the competitions our potential Commonwealth Games athletes use in their preparations. It's in their portfolio. If they get a good result at the Island Games, it can put them in the eyes of the selectors for Commonwealth Games. So yes, it really is a valuable stepping stone.
With the Isle of Man having bespoke facilities for this sort of thing, to give an idea to the listener out there, there is extensive ranges of equipment and training and all sorts. It's a magnificent facility in here. How good is it that the Isle of Man has something like this for gymnastics athletes, whether they are pushing towards the very top or getting involved for a different reason?
Yes, we are so, so lucky. We've got two facilities on the Isle of Man full of state-of-the-art equipment. The equipment is up to Commonwealth Games standard, so you can train up to the highest level. But also we both do preschool gymnastics, and we've got lots of equipment for preschool gymnasts, general gymnasts that come an hour a week. Both facilities have waiting lists. We're just crammed with gymnasts.
And when it comes to the squad itself, in terms of the balance, what's it like between, let's say, newer athletes and those who've experienced competing at this level?
Well, all of the gymnasts that are in the competition this year, they all went to Oland. So they've all had, if you like, international experience. Some were in the junior competition and some were in the senior. So we've got a half and half mix, seniors, juniors this year.
And when it comes to the more experienced athletes, like you say, who have got that international experience, I'm not going to ask you to put an ultimatum on this or anything like that, but, you know, how confident are you in some of their chances of maybe coming away with a medal or two in Orkney?
We can hope. We don't know what some countries are doing. As I said, we had excellent results 2 years ago. We just hope we can live up to those and bring home some medals this time.
And for the newer faces as well, people talk about the really sort of personable experience that people have at the Island Games as well. How nice is it to know that they'll go into a positive environment where there's no pressure and they can just learn from the experience?
Yeah, this learning experience just can't be bettered, really. They get this international flavour, but without the pressure of, say, a Commonwealth Games. Some of our gymnasts also do go to the Northern European Championships, but that's a really formal event, where this time we've got a cultural day. We have a day off from competition. We go out with the other nations, and you just can't, you know, better that. They make friends for life at these events. So some of our gymnasts in Oland are still in touch with senior gymnasts from other countries, and it's really lovely.
Just finally as well, on the schedule itself, for example, what's it looking like over the space of a week? Because the gymnastics is a little more spread out, I think, than some of the others.
It's saying spread out. It's quite intense. We start training on the Sunday. So we have a training day on the Sunday. They compete on the Monday, which is the team day, and then they have one day off on the Tuesday, which gives us a chance to at least see Orkney. Then we're back in the gym again, training Wednesday, competing Thursday, competing Friday.
Manx Radio. Sport.
And finally, one of the teams hoping to build on what it described as a positive previous games is the Manx Archery Squad, and one of their competitors, Reece Moore, I caught up with at the team's range in Greba recently.
Well, Reece, it doesn't seem that all that long ago that we were speaking to you and the archery team ahead of Guernsey. Nearly 2 years have passed, so how are you all feeling about the trip to Orkney this time?
Well, obviously, we had a great trip to Guernsey in 23. We came back with 6 medals in the end, which was a great, great result for us. The team slightly slimmed down this time due to various reasons, but the members that are going is a great strong squad. Many of them were in Guernsey, so we're hopeful that we can have some good returns this time as well.
Yeah, 4 of the 5 in the squad this time around went to Guernsey, and like you say, 6 medals last time as well, so quite a nice target to try and aim for this time, maybe. No, pardon the pun.
Well, that's always the hope, isn't it? It is such a competitive sport, but we've always traditionally done quite well. 6 was a particularly good year, so let's see whether we can replicate it.
And it seemed that there was a mix as well, because yourself and Aileen picked up some individual medals, but a selection of team medals as well, so does that say a little bit, although the team's changed this year, that there is quite a good all-round collective ability in there?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think we've got a good chance of some of the team medals again this year. That'll certainly be a focus, and then the individual medals will always be a bonus.
And it's worth pointing out, for those who don't know the ins and outs of the archery side of things, that there's plenty going on outside of the Island Games. So could you just give us a bit of a picture, I guess, of what you've been up to since we last spoke to your head at Guernsey?
Well, I mean, we shoot 2-3 times a week in Onchan during the winter, and then we're in Greba during the summer. The clubs come on strength, I think, personally. I'd say our membership numbers are probably up somewhere between 10 and 15%, probably since the last time we spoke. And I'd say the people that are shooting on a regular basis are up notably. I mean, you're down here the field tonight. There must be the plus side of 2 dozen people down here shooting tonight. Glorious evening for it. Great excuse to get outdoors and just relax, basically.
Well, aside from the fantastic surroundings that we've got there, like you say, there's been a bit of an increase there. So what's maybe been behind that kind of rise in popularity?
I don't know. Well, I mean, I could always blow me on trumpet and say hopefully it was Guernsey, but I imagine I think people just always looking for something new to try. It's fantastic in terms of, we always joke, we take them from 9 to 90. So we cover off all age ranges. We've got a great split between, you know, men and women. So it's great competitive from that point of view. It's really good for families. We've got people here, you know, there's two families here where there's 2 or 3 of the members all shooting together. So I think it offers an ability that people can be as much of a hobby or as competitive as really they want to be.
And just on that point as well, like making it accessible to people from different walks of life, different ages as well, how good is that in getting fresh blood into archery, whether it's one person or 100 people?
Absolutely, absolutely. I've always said anybody can give it a go. And anybody you ever chat to, say, oh, you know, I do archery, they're always like, oh yeah, I love archery, done archery, I'd love to give it another go. And I'd always recommend people do come give it a go, give it another proper try, and if you like it, then stick around. And if not, there's plenty of other sports, isn't there? But I'd always encourage people to give archery a go. It is very therapeutic in its own way.
From someone who's very involved, and for a bit of context for those who don't know, give us an idea of some of the skills that go into archery, speaking on behalf, you know, for someone who's never tried it before.
I'd classify archery as much of a mental sport as it is a physical sport. You don't have to be the biggest, you don't have to be the fastest, you don't have to be the strongest. You just have to come with the right sort of mindset, and it helps. It allows people to concentrate and focus on something in particular. I mean, when I'm down here shooting, it gives me a chance to get away from everything else that's happened in my life. So it's great from that point of view, and it means you can all be together and you're quite close together. It makes it a good relaxed atmosphere to just enjoy yourselves.
Looking ahead, I'm certainly not going to ask you to make any predictions or anything specific or anything like that, but what would the team class as a successful Island Games this summer?
We'd love to bring a couple of medals home. The Island Man Archery team has been quite successful over the years. It's been quite a few games since we haven't won at least one medal, so we'd be looking to pick up a few medals and see what sort of colour they look like when we get there.
And that's all we have time for on Friday Sport Preview this week. And all that remains is for me to say, have a wonderful Friday, whatever you're doing, and have a wonderful weekend as well. But from us, until next time, it is bye for now.
Manx Radio Sport.